Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wednesday afternoon at 5 on your favorite campus and community radio station. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon. Every Wednesday afternoon at 5 for the last 10 years, I've gathered together down here in the basement of Freeborn Hall on the UC Davis campus, gathered with poets and pundits and prognosticators and creative people of all sorts who have come here to tell me and you and listeners across the globe via kdvs.org about the projects they're working on. Sometimes it's a play, sometimes it's a brand new movie, sometimes it's a website that is broadcasting good news about an important new cause. Usually, it's a poet. And this afternoon, we will be joined by two poets, both on the KDVS Live Line. The first will be Kelly Davio. She's the managing and poetry editor at the Los Angeles Review, and she's a poetry reader for the journal Fifth Wednesday. She's the author of a book, Burn This House, which is coming from Red Hen Press, and has many other projects that she's working on. She's going to read a poem or two to us and tell us about this book project that's due out later this year. Then, in the second half of the hour, we'll hear from Andy Dugas. He's a fiction writer and a poet whose work has appeared in a great number of journals, some of which you may have heard of. And we'll be interrupted along the way by the music of Milt Jackson. Do you know Milt Jackson? If I remember correctly, Milt Jackson was the master of the vibraphone. So there'll be that, poetry, little talk of technology. Apple's got a new iPhone that they've just announced. Milt Jackson and two different poets to share with you their thoughts, their projects, their upcoming readings, and especially their poems. This is what you've come to expect from everybody's favorite poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the beginning of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying the vibraphone stylings of Milt Jackson. This is the first track called Bop Again from his CD Burning in the Woodhouse. The late Milt Jackson. Before we get started with Kelly Davio, I wanted to remind you that the Poetry in Davis reading series is continuing next week with a reading at the John Itzulis Gallery. Peter Ludwin and Bill O'Daly will be reading at the John Itzulis Gallery on June 17th, a week from tomorrow. Peter Ludwin's got a new book out. It's called A Guest in All Your Houses. It includes poems informed by the rhythms of folk music, a vividness of focus, and the spirituality inspired by the natural world. A Guest in All Your Houses, a new book by Peter Ludwin. He'll be reading a week from tomorrow at the John Itzulis Gallery, joined by Bill O'Daly, who's read in Davis before. He's the author of a good number of poetry books, including a number of translations of the work of Pablo Neruda. He's got a new historical novel out called This Earthly Life, set during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. So again, that's June 17th at 8 o'clock at the John Itzulis Gallery, first in East Streets in the city of Davis, Peter Ludwin and Bill O'Daly. If you want to find out more, you can visit poetryindavis.com. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour here on KDVS. I'm very interested in introducing all of you to Kelly Davio. Kelly Davio is the managing editor and the poetry editor at the Los Angeles Review. This despite the fact that I think I caught her in the 503 area code. I believe that's Oregon. She reads poetry for the journal Fifth Wednesday. She's the author of a book that will be coming out, before you know it, from Red Hen Press called Burn This House. Not too different from Burning in the Woodhouse, which is this Milt Jackson album that we're listening to now, which is why I chose it. Her work has appeared in Gargoyle, Cincinnati Review, Women's Review of Books, Best New Poets 2009, Hello, and others. She holds an MFA in poetry from Northwest Institute of Literary Arts and teaches English as a second language in Seattle, Washington. She agreed to come on the air with me this afternoon to tell us all about her work as a poet and an editor. Kelly Davio, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's good to hear you, and wonderful to welcome you to the radio program. Some people may have questions about the Los Angeles Review. Could you tell us more about that journal and what your duties are there as poetry editor?
Sure. The Los Angeles Review was established back in 2003. We're in our eighth issue right now, which is set to land in October of this year. As managing editor, I get to do all kinds of fun things like proofread and copy edit and format our manuscript and those sorts of things. But the bulk of my duties really involve reading poetry submissions that come in to the review and making decisions on those poems with my co-poetry editors, Lori Junkins and Tanya Chernoff.
Excellent. And how do people find out about your journal? Do you get most of your submissions electronically, and are they mostly from Californians?
We do get most of our submissions electronically. In fact, we get all of them electronically these days. We moved to all email submissions about 1 year ago, which we like. It makes things a little more efficient, and it's a little more environmentally friendly. But we get submissions from all over the country and all over the world. While we do love to see work from people in Los Angeles, we've considered work from and published work from far-flung places like Singapore, Israel, Poland, and other fascinating locales.
Wonderful. And do people in these faraway places, do they find you on the web? How is it that you're able to reach so far globally?
The you do find us on the web, our online home is at losangelesreview.org, so we're pretty easy to find. And people also find us through such awesome resources as newpages.com and duotrope.com.
Excellent. And so tell me a little bit more about you as a poet. Did you grow up in the Northwest?
I did not. I'm actually from Central California. Fresno is my hometown. I've been living in the Northwest for about the last 5 years.
And what drew you up there?
My husband works for Microsoft, the big baddie.
So I'm familiar with them, yeah.
He's up here for that reason.
So when you appeared on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, one could really say that your very household is a mix of poetry and technology.
It is. I mostly only deal with the poetry. It's nice to have in-house tech support.
Absolutely. You're very lucky. And what sort of work does your husband do at Microsoft?
He is a technical program manager, whatever that means. His actual duties are quite obscure to me because I'm pretty technologically illiterate myself.
Well, you're lucky. I'm sure that both of you would much rather hear stories about poets and poetry than about technology subjects.
True.
All right. So tell me about your training as a poet and your qualifications to do all this important poetry editing work and poetry outreach work.
Well, I'm not sure I'm exactly qualified, but I'm sure eager and willing. And I think that's one of the ways that many people get into editing is kind of approaching people who have magazines running or have programs running and saying, what can I do to help? So I do have some qualifications, I suppose. I hold a bachelor's degree in English literature and an MFA in poetry from Northwest Institute of Literary Arts. And it was at the Northwest Institute that I actually met my editor for Burn This House at Red Hen Press, and that's the wonderful Kate Gale. She came to teach at the program, and we kind of clicked and struck up a friendship, and it was through her that I became editor of Los Angeles Review, and now she's also going to be bringing out my first collection of poetry.
What a great friend and colleague and collaborator to have.
She's fantastic.
Excellent. Now, the MFA is considered a terminal degree in the world of creative writing, isn't it?
It is, yes.
So what more could people want of you other than an MFA in terms of qualifications to do all this important work on behalf of poetry? I think you're there. You're ready.
I think I am ready. So I think, you know, in terms of other qualifications, you know, for people who do want to become editors at literary magazines and do want to contribute to the poetry world, you don't necessarily need an MFA. What you really do need is a love of poetry, an understanding of the craft of poetry, and a willingness to devote a lot of time and a lot of energy to, you know, propelling this art form in the new century.
I think you're right. Let's remind folks that Kelly Davio is my guest this afternoon. She's the managing editor and poetry editor at the Los Angeles Review. She also reads poetry for Fifth Wednesday Journal. I want to hear a sample of your new book from Red Hen Press called Burn This House. But first, tell me, who do you consider to be some of your most important influences? When you read or reread your own work, what echoes of other poets do you hear there?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I would say that varies almost daily.
Okay.
with my taste as a reader, but someone I've been reading a lot of lately and who I absolutely adore is Laura Jensen. She's a Northwest poet from Tacoma who has really, I don't think, received the kind of attention that she really deserves. She's published about 7 books of poetry, and my favorite of those is called Memory. It was recently re-released by Carnegie Mellon Press just a couple years ago. I highly recommend her to everyone's attention.
And that's Laura Jensen.
Laura Jensen, yes.
If I remember correctly, someone who I went to graduate school with here at UC Davis wrote a book on Laura Jensen for the Western Writers Series.
Wonderful.
And let's see, is that right? No. Someone else wrote on Laura Jensen, but I know that she's for that series, but I know that she's written on Laura Jensen, and that my friend John Van Staveren, she just would rave about her poetry way back in the day. What is it about her work that really appeals to you?
She has a voice that is really, it's quite strong and clear, and you know that it is always Laura Jensen, but she's also very versatile. At one moment, she may be very terse, and at another moment, extremely lyrical. She can do fabulous things. She can scare the pants off of you and charm you in the break of a stanza.
Wonderful. Well, people are probably wondering when you're going to break into one of your stanzas. So let's play a quick public service announcement, and then when we return, I would love it if you would read us a poem from your later-to-be-published book from Red Hand Press.
That would be great.
All right. We'll be right back with my guest this afternoon, and her name is Kelly Davio. She is the poetry editor of the Los Angeles Review. You're listening to KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
June afternoon vibraphone music. A perfect backdrop for my conversation with Kelly Davio. She's on the KDVS live line here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. She's a teacher in Seattle, Washington, though originally she's from the Central Valley of California. And she's got a new book out, coming from Red Hen Press later this year, called Burn This House. I've asked if she'd be willing to read a poem from that book. Kelly Davio, if you had to point to a particular theme or pattern of content in your book to be published later this year called Burn This House, what would you point to?
I would say it's kind of the group of poems is kind of about viewing the world from conflicting viewpoints. I was brought up in a pretty unusual, highly conservative and religious environment. When I was old enough to begin making sort of my own observations and making my own opinions, I found that my younger self and my older self were often in direct conflict. So the book is kind of about trying to identify what's interesting and painful and even funny about kind of having a two-sided view of the world.
Interesting. And excellent. So it's a book that looks back retrospectively, but then delves into your present self or the immediate self as well.
It does, or at least I hope it achieves that anyway.
Excellent. Well, what poem would you like to share from this new book to be published later this year, Burn This House?
I'd like to read you a poem called The Way I Remember. This is the poem that was featured in Best New Poets 2009 last year.
Great. Good for you. Let's hear that.
The way I remember, it was my older sister who walked barefoot on the balance beam of a creosote-soaked railroad tie, abandoned in a field, and speared the soft flesh between her toes. With tar stuck at her heels, never looking down, she'd kicked a rogue splinter clear of the sleeper tie and buried a fragment of oak in her skin. She hid the wound from our mother with a loose shoe, knowing prohibitions come with bodily records of wrongdoing. At night, she dug at her angry skin with a crochet hook, the oak breaking to smaller flinders as I held a flashlight toward her foot, my eyes shielded with a flannel sleeve, my voice reciting times tables to cover her hoarse breath. But decades later, I find a scar on my own right foot, between second and third toes, the raised tissue like a rubber band, broken, snapped to a curl beneath my skin. The position is an exact fit for a kick at a rail tie, the rough mend suggesting a want of stitches, suggesting coal grown into the sinews after years of my forgetting. Looking hard, I see the ragged edges have striated, sprouted spindle leaves like the vagrant foxtails growing in fields, fields where I remember only watching in fear, never walking a balance.
Oh, that's nice. I love the idea of the balance. The poem itself seems to balance between two possibilities with regard to the multiple personalities that you say your book explores.
Thank you.
So, very nice.
Thank you very much.
Tell me how it was that this poem was chosen to be included in such an impressive anthology. Was it Kim Adonisio? Did she edit that?
It was, yeah. It was Kim Adonisio, who was the guest editor for the series in 2009. I don't know what about the poem appealed to her, but I'm sure that it did. When I found out that I was going to be included in the anthology, I actually woke my husband up by shouting, "I'm going to be in the anthology." So I was quite enthusiastic about having this poem in Best New Poets.
I'm sure there's one Davisite in that book, and that's her name is Ray Gourand, and then there's one UC Davis alumna, and that's Melissa Stein, who's in that book.
Who is a very wonderful poet. I believe her first collection is going to be coming out shortly, and I'm really looking forward to Melissa's book.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we had both of them read here in Davis either earlier this year or late last year. And wonderful poets, both. We also had Kim Adonisio in Davis maybe 8 months before that. So it's always wonderful when the high regard that one has for one's friends is confirmed by such an established and important West Coast poet.
It is, absolutely.
Well, good for you for appearing in that important book.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, tell me, we've got just a few minutes left, but I'm interested to know what other sorts of projects you're working on. If there's anything that is outside of your official bio that you want to plug or mention or ask people to keep their eyes open for.
Well, my most recent project that I just finished working on is a novel in poems. It's called Jacob Wrestling, and it's, as I say, it's quite recent, but I'm hoping that the right editor is going to click with this book. So.
Excellent. Well, we all know that novels sell better than books of poetry do. So I hope that this amalgam of a book does well for you and that you find both an editor and a publisher soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely. If we wanted to find out more and about you and your work, Kelly Davio, where would we go?
You can visit me at my website, kellydavio.com, where I blog a few times a week and share links and that sort of thing.
Excellent. So that's kellydavio, D-A-V-I-O.com. Kelly, it's been a pleasure to have you on the radio show, and I wish you continued good luck with all of your book projects.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Garrison Keillor.
You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Actually, you're listening to Garrison Keillor, but I'm telling you that this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Garrison. Oh, if only we played Rolling Stones on this radio station. And now, back to the jazz. This is KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. You know what I haven't done for a while? I haven't read a Richard Wilbur poem in a while. Here's one called A Hole in the Floor. It's for the great surrealist painter, René Magritte. The carpenter's made a hole in the parlor floor, and I'm standing, staring down into it now. At 4 o'clock in the evening, as Schliemann stood, when his shovel knocked on the crowns of Troy. A clean-cut sawdust sparkles on the gray, shaggy laths, and here is a cluster of shavings from the time when the floor was laid. They are silvery gold, the color of Hesperian apple parings. Kneeling, I look in under where the joists go, into hiding, a pure street, faintly littered, with bits and strokes of light, enters the long darkness where its parallels will meet. The radiator pipe rises in middle distance like a shuttered kiosk, standing where the only news is night. Here it's not painted green, and it is in the visible world. For God's sake, what am I after? Some treasure? Or tiny garden, or that untrodden place, the house's very soul, where time has stored our footbeats and the long skein of our voices. Not these, but the buried strangeness which nourishes the known, that spring from which the floor lamp drinks now a wilder bloom, inflaming the damask love seat and the whole dangerous room.
Feel about the death penalty, euthanasia, and abortion? What about stem cell research and contraception? Do you believe in free speech or some form of censorship? Who do you trust and why? Define your personal ethics by listening to concepts and issues presented on It's About You. My name is France, your host, and I will search the universe to bring you guests and topics every Monday morning at 8:30 in order to assist you in defining who you are. Namaste.
You all are enjoying all of this Milt Jackson vibraphone music. This is called Brother K. It's from his album Burning in the Woodhouse. Milt Jackson. Andy Dugas is our next guest. I first met Andy about a month ago when he attended and participated in a reading that took place here in Davis in celebration of Flatman Crooked. They're coming out with a new anthology. If I remember correctly, Andy was a prize winner of some sort. He might have won a poetry prize. We'll confirm that once we get him on the air. But first, his bio. Andy Dugas's fiction and poetry have appeared in a great number of journals, including Instant City, SOMA Literary Review, Unlikely Stories, Bear Creek Haiku, and others. He's regularly invited to read at local literary events. You're probably wondering where local is. Including San Francisco's citywide Litquake Festival. I'm going to start a Litquake here in Davis one of these years. He's a graduate of Ithaca College, which means that he knows cold. He's also a two-year veteran of the Advanced Writing Workshop at Cornell University. And now, he's ours. Andy Dugas, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
I'm glad I don't have a PhD, because then we wouldn't know who's talking to who.
Absolutely.
Dr. Andy.
We just keep saying Dr. Andy, Dr. Andy. People reading the transcript of this conversation would be confused.
Well, you'll always be the doctor.
I'll take that.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Andy Dugas. So you're there in the Bay Area, and if you're getting invited to Litquake, it sounds like you've got your finger on the pulse of literary and poetic happenings in the San Francisco area. True or false?
I have a pinky on the pulse.
That's pretty good.
It's a very exciting time to be in the Bay Area. It's always been this capital or this center of literary arts, but I don't know. Things are going wild now. It's just
wild in a good way.
Wild in a very good way. I mean, there's a lot more reading centers. You know, 20 years ago, when I was first reading around the Bay Area, there were a lot of, you know, open readings, and, you know, they were attended and participated by, I would say, you know, people who really, you know, were very, very much on the edge.
Right.
It seems like it's really moved into the mainstream a lot more now. It's not about open readings anymore. It's about invitational events. The invitational event has almost replaced the magazine in a way. Now you submit to the reading series and you get accepted, and instead of being published, you actually, you know, you go up to read instead.
I like this idea.
It's very interesting. One series, Quiet Lightning, they actually publish the work that's going to be read that evening, so that you can actually buy a journal with everything you're going to hear that night in it when you go to the event.
That is neat. And so it's a little bit like a souvenir of your evening.
Yes, yes.
And so is this a journal as well as a reading series? Do they put all these things together?
Well, for Quiet Lightning, which is run by Evan Karp, the series is different. The magazine they call Sparkle and Blink. And it's sold separately, you know, if you will. You can actually buy them online. They're using, you know, print-on-demand technology, just to get the poetry and technology circle completed there.
Thank you.
And right now, you know, I'm a bit of an older poet. I'm almost 50. But there are some really, really exciting young poets here in San Francisco right now, if I may, you know, plug them a little bit.
Plug away.
One is called Andrew Paul Nelson. He's this tall madman, and he comes alive when he reads, and it's a great case where the performance matches the work perfectly. And if you Google around, you'll find some videos of him out there. Another one is a woman named Nick Alea, and she's
is that one name or two?
Two names.
Okay.
N-I-C-A-L-E-A. She is sort of like has a slam style, but she really just brings it home. I mean, a lot about, you know, identity, gender identity issues. But she's young. We'll let her get away with it.
Sure. I mean, she's got room to grow.
Got room to go, but her performance and her content are, you know, they go deep.
Excellent.
And last but not least is a fellow named M.G. Martin. That's M.G., like the British car. He won't tell me what it stands for, but he's something different. He transcends all genres, and his performance is sometimes they're object-oriented. One time he was reading and just started to drop cans of Spam and bananas out of his pants pockets while he was reading, and it was I was hungry, so it was a good thing.
So there are like surreal artistic performance elements of this, as well as great and fascinating words.
Yes. Oh, yes. And that's what's really good, because sometimes, you know, you would hear this fantastic poem, but when you read it on the page, it was flat.
Right.
And now here it's sort of like where when you read it on the page, it actually comes alive.
Not only is it not flat, but with all those props, it's 3D.
Exactly. It jumps off the page, if you will.
There you go. Now, I was running around Berkeley 20 years ago seeing poetry readings, and I was pretty much on the edge of poverty. But mostly, I guess I saw readings occasionally on campus, a lot of them over at the dear departed Cody's Books.
Yes, yes.
2454 Telegraph. That was a great bookstore.
It was huge.
It was huge, and they had that big room on the second floor. Richard Silberg, I think, was the name of that guy, who ran that reading series, and cost like $2 to see the poets, and it was always a pleasure. That's where I saw Brother Antonius, also known as William Everson.
Yes, yes.
Robert Pinsky and Frank Bidart read there. A lot of impressive characters. But you're saying that even though Cody's Books is no longer with us on Telegraph, there's still a lot of responsible poetry venues.
Oh, yes, yes. It seems to have moved into the bars.
All right.
I'm mostly San Francisco oriented, so I'm not really fully versed on what's going on in East Bay or North.
That's all right.
The Elbow Room in San Francisco, the Makeout Room, Vera Kosha, these bars have really become, you know, gathering places for writers, and a lot of these events take place there. Writers with Drinks has been run out there for at least 10 years out of the Makeout Room. These reading series have really grown. Writers with Drinks is featuring Tobias Wolff this weekend.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's a good weekend to be in San Francisco for poetry.
So whether you're an NPR fan or an underground San Francisco poetry fan, there's something there for you this weekend.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Now, Andy Dugas, I want to hear some of your work, but I bet people are wondering, where and how can they hear you read, and how do we find you electronically?
Well, I will be reading next Friday night. There's an event happening at the Art House in Berkeley.
So that's on the 18th?
Is on the 18th, Friday the 18th. It is located at on Shattuck, between Ashby and Russell.
All right.
2905 Shattuck Avenue. It's called Daddy-O Knows Best. Everything's going to be Father Day themed. And I'll be reading with Jamie Jenna, Clive Mattson, Laura Riggs, and someone I don't know, but his name is interesting. It's Lukewarm Water.
Huh.
And I'm very interested to see. I hope his poetry is not tepid.
I hope he's hot for all of your sakes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
read this some more.
and let's stick on fathers for a moment. So you all will be reading father-centric poetry?
Some will be poetry. I'll actually be reading a short story on that event.
Excellent. Now let's say something about that, because you're a short story author as well as a poet. When you wake up in the morning, do you know what sort of writing you'll be doing that day?
I know I'll write some poetry. I write poetry almost every day. Poetry's been my mainstay. In my first few attempts at a long-form novel, you know, they kind of fell apart, but poetry was always there to make me feel better. You know, you can always kick out a poem in a few hours and revise it later and feel good, feel a sense of accomplishment. I've since finished a completed novel, and the sense of satisfaction is probably about the same as finishing a really good poem.
So why not crank out at least a few attempted good poems over the course of the week? You'll have all that satisfaction waiting for you.
Yeah, I think you should just carry a notebook and just open it up and start writing. And you never know what's going to come out. Sometimes you just kind of catch the tail of a poem and you can reel it in.
I like that.
For 1 year, well, for most of the year, beginning in May last year until March, I was, twittering a haiku a day.
Where do we find you on Twitter?
I am at @haiku_Andy.
All right.
But I haven't been. I've sort of given up that exercise because I'm doing another revision of my novel. But that was a lot of fun, and I actually, you know, got me a few hundred people following me on Twitter. And I would get a lot of feedback when I posted them on Facebook as well. I'm actually collecting them now into a volume, which I'll be self-publishing and selling with the proceeds will go to charity. I'm not sure who yet.
Did you hear about that guy in San Francisco who wrote a novel and then he got his programmer friend to take the novel and spit it out tweet by tweet in 140...
Yeah, Matt Stewart, the French Revolution.
That's right, the French Revolution.
Yeah, Matt, I know Matt. He's a good guy. He's a good writer, too.
I saw him speak at the San Francisco Writers Conference last year, and it seemed like an interesting project, a mix of some really good and interesting writing with that stunt quality that'll really get him noticed in 2010.
Yeah, well, that's the trick now. You know, you really have to do something to get noticed, and you still have to deliver the goods.
Oh, yeah.
But it's nice to find some way in. He's actually got another novel he's been working on, which sounds various things. You can talk to him about that.
Oh, I will.
But just as a pitch, his novel, The French Revolution, it's actually going to be released on Bastille Day.
So that would be, what is that, July 14th?
Yes, very good. You know your history.
I know all sorts of trivial things. I came up with that. That's one of the reasons they had to give me the PhD, because I just knew so much by then.
You proved them.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of trivial knowledge. Andy Dugas is my guest, in case you've just joined us here on KDBS, 90.3 FM in Davis. He's a poet and short story writer who calls San Francisco his home. He has been published in a great number of journals, and he's really active in the poetry scene. He's going to be giving a reading with a number of other people a week from Friday. That would be June 18th. And tell me the location again, Andy.
That's going to be Art House Gallery in Berkeley.
And that's on Shattuck.
Let me make sure I got that right. It's 2905, Shattuck Avenue at Ashby.
Excellent. And you'll be happy to know that I am now your 233rd follower on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
So you're really becoming established on this Twitter thing.
Oh, I'm telling you. But, you know, the most rewarding thing about that haiku exercise was people I know through Facebook who I see personally, when they would see me, I wouldn't see them for months, and they would say, oh, I loved your haiku today. Or they would actually offer up a haiku in return.
Nice.
I've been at a bar with friends, and then one person will come in and they'll sort of, like, slide me a piece of paper with a haiku on it that they'd written, within the last hour.
So it's like you're a secret celebrity.
Well, I don't know about celebrity, but it certainly opened up a lot of doors. I met one person, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm Andy, and I'm going to be reading tonight. And they're like, okay. And then about 15 minutes later, they came over gushing, oh, you're haiku, Andy.
That's wonderful.
It was, yeah, but, you know, I'm married, so I can't misuse it in any way.
So you're saying it was female gushing.
In that particular instance.
Right. Yeah, this happened to me once in a restaurant here in the city of Davis when we were hosting Derek Walcott, and we had Derek Walcott, Nobel Prize winning poet, for those of you at home who don't know him, and then a bunch of very important poets and English department people, including the great Alan Williamson, who is a Berkeleyite and a wonderful poet, worked with Robert Lowell, who directed my dissertation, and I'm there because I knew Derek back at Boston University, and the woman in the restaurant brings us the check, and out of all of these people who had maybe 60 books among them, she comes to me and says, Dr. Andy, I just wanted to let you know I'm a big fan of your radio show.
Oh.
I thought, this is something. Did you hear that, Derek?
So, in your face, Derek.
Right.
In your face.
Anyway. But good. Well, Andy Dugas, people at home, they want less tuning, more crooning. So do you have a poem you can share with us?
Well, I've got some haiku I thought I might share.
Great. Bring them on.
You know, I have a grown son now. He just recently became grown, I should say. And I thought I'd do a couple pieces about him.
Excellent.
Actually. This is all haiku, but they don't all adhere necessarily to the strict rules. Actually, some would say them centering it, but that's another story. Home for Thanksgiving. My son sleeps in the guest room. When did that happen? And let's see. Walking with my son, almost grown, the city now his. Girls smile, not at me. And another coming home poem. Son home from college, banging doors, running downstairs. Such wonderful noise. And is there time for a short non-haiku piece?
Please, let's hear it. I'm really enjoying those haiku. The great thing about haiku is that if you think, should I respond or say how much I like that, the glorious thing is that there's probably another one, right behind it. So it's good to keep quiet. But, let's hear a non-haiku poem if you have one.
This is a short. It's one of my personal favorites. This appeared in Unlikely Stories a couple years ago. It's called First Communion. The children are in the basement playing with matches. Their faces glow like jack-o'-lantern moons, the flame dancing in their eyes. They strike match after match, wrapped in the flaring hush of each sulfur bulb. Match after match, they urge the flame to keep dancing, to bloom forever. Match after match, they burn their fingers trying.
That's very nice. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So we can find some of your poems not only on Twitter, but on some of the journals whose titles I've read earlier.
Yeah.
With all of these book projects that people are working on, we heard about Kelly Davio's in the first half hour of the program. What are your thoughts about publishing and wood pulp and paper? What is the relationship with these old media and the poems that you keep turning out successfully?
I'm not sure I understand the wood pulp.
What I mean by that is like pages. You know, usually we publish in pixels these days. By wood pulp, I mean books and things with spines.
I think that I think if you're looking for an interesting industry point of view.
All right.
I mean, things are definitely changing, and we don't know how it's going to shake out. You mentioned Flatman Crooked. I think, you know, groups like Flatman Crooked, outfits like them, they're trying to kind of walk this new line, and they're trying everything under the sun to see what, you know, they're throwing against the wall to see what sticks, basically.
Right.
And I think that they're the kind of people like them who are open to this experimentation, they're going to find the next successful model. At the same time, with all the self-publishing that's available now through, you know, print-on-demand and online, everyone is still really hustling for the traditional book deal. A lot of the self-publishing projects are intended to not just be – that's not the end of it. The idea is that self-published book will build an audience that will then become attractive to the big house publishing.
They're almost like business cards, these books.
Yeah.
They say, here I am, yeah.
You have to bring an audience with you now. You have to develop your own audience and bring it with you.
You've got to build a platform before you can dance on it.
I like that.
All right.
I'm going to use that.
You can use that. You can have that one if you like it.
Thank you.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say we're running short on time. I wanted to make sure that you plugged your reading time and place once more before I let you go.
Okay, that's Friday, June 18th. Called Daddy-O Knows Best. It's going to be taking place at the Art House Gallery and Cultural Center at 2905 Shattuck Avenue in Berkeley, and that's right at Ashby. I'll be reading along with Jamie Jenna, Clive Mattson, Laura Riggs, and Lukewarm Water, among others.
Excellent.
Laura Riggs is the one curating the series, and she is she knows how to pick them. I'm not just saying that because she picked me, but because she picked Jamie and Clive.
Well, that's really encouraging, and we've always thought of Berkeley as a place for poetry, and now we're finding more evidence that you can find some spoken and written culture, especially on the weekends in the city of Berkeley, as well as in San Francisco, the home of my guest, Andy Dugas. Andy, it's been a pleasure to talk to you on the phone now that we've met in person and corresponded using various other electronic media. And I wish you continued luck with the great variety of interesting poetic projects that you're working on.
Dr. Andy, thank you very much. And listen, we're going to get you down here. We're going to show you around, and I want you to see some of these young poets that are just kicking it.
I would like that. I'll bring my manuscript with me, and I can, you know, I'd love to kick it with them.
Excellent.
Andy Dugas, thanks so much for appearing on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour today.
Well, thank you.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
Many people have foot problems and don't suspect arthritis. Arthritis is a disabling and sometimes crippling disease that affects 40 million Americans of all ages. Arthritis strikes the joints, causing loss of motion, swelling, stiffness, and pain. This can be a particular problem in the feet since each foot contains 33 joints. If you experience any of the symptoms of arthritis in your feet, see a doctor right away. For more information, visit www.apma.org.
ASUCD Book Exchange allows students to sell back their used textbooks and set their own prices for them. Usually students receive more money for their used textbooks than they would normally from other places such as bookstores or online. In addition, students may purchase books from the Book Exchange at lower prices than bookstores offer. The exchange takes place the first week of every academic quarter in the King Lounge on the second floor of the Memorial Union on the UC Davis campus. More information is available at their website, bookexchange.ucdavis.edu. This is a public service message from KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
And I'd like to thank the Yolo Federal Credit Union for sponsoring this hour of KDBS Public Affairs programming. A week from tomorrow, Peter Ludwin and Bill O'Daly will be reading at the John Itzulis Gallery at 1st and E Streets in the city of Davis. Bill O'Daly is the co-founder of Copper Canyon Press. That's impressive. Peter Ludwin has a new book out called A Guest in All Your Houses. So maybe I'll see you at that event a week from Thursday. I'd like to thank my two guests, Kelly Davio, the managing and poetry editor of the Los Angeles Review, reached us from Seattle. Andy Dugas is a man all about San Francisco. He's reading his poetry, publishing his short stories, and participating in a big event a week from Friday on Shattuck Avenue. Andy Dugas can be found on Twitter at andyhaiku.com/andyhaiku. My name is Andy Jones, and I very much appreciate you tuning in to KDBS this afternoon. Stick around for some great music. It's coming up right around the corner. And I'll be back next week with more poets, more events coming up to tell you about, more creative thinking and speaking, right here on everybody's favorite campus and community radio station, 90.3 FM in Davis. It's KDBS, and this has been Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you next week.